In rural Appalachia, if you face homelessness, it can be challenging to find resources to help get you back on your feet. A pastor in St. Albans, Kanawha County, saw that a homeless encampment consisting of about 10 tents in his community was being pushed out. People were being told that they had to leave, so he decided to help. But not everyone in the town approves of the work he's doing. Producer Kyle Vass spent some time this summer looking into what's been happening with the tent city.
They hate to move every night, and they hate to bother people.
Stan is a pastor here in St. Albans. He's driving around the outskirts of town, pointing out the tucked away thickets where homeless people have set up camps.
They're not trying to break into people's homes, or I'm not saying that some don't, but that the majority of them are just broken people that just want to be treated with a little respect and dignity and remain private, remain out of the public eye.
Stan knows these camps well because he takes care of people facing homelessness in and around St. Albans. This past summer, Stan heard the sheriff was going to shut down the largest of these camps, a place called Tent City. When Stan heard the news, he did something big. He purchased the land that the camp was on. The camp was on private property. Now that Stan owns it, he's legally allowed to let people stay on it without the fear of them being made to leave. But a lot of people in town aren't happy with what Stan's done.
They call it Tent City, but actually it looks like a lot of tarps and whatever these people can gather to put shelter over their heads. A lot of trash laying on the ground.
Rick Willis is the administrator of a Facebook group called St. Albans Taking Back Our Community. It has 4,500 members, a number that is nearly half the population of St. Albans.
The purpose is to return the community to its original glory. You didn't have homeless wandering the streets, breaking in people's houses, stealing everything that isn't nailed down.
Rick's group blames people like Stan who offer services to the homeless. They say these services are enabling homelessness.
You've got a church and a minister that bought a piece of property that set up a tent city for some of the homeless vagrants. Of course, you know, there's a lot of people supporting. There's a lot of people that are very angry about what he did. You know, it was done kind of in the dark. It was unpublicized, but, you know, St. Albans is still a small town and word got around.
They took my picture, posted my address, posted my telephone number, posted my wife's business, posted her name, encouraged people to dump garbage at our house and at her business and at the church. And they did dump garbage at the church.
According to Stan, whoever dumped the garbage on his church lawn did it as an act of revenge. He thinks their rationale goes something like this. You're enabling people who fill our city with garbage, so we're going to dump actual garbage on your property. See how you like it. But Stan points out that he didn't create this camp. In fact, it would have been impossible for him to have started this camp. According to local business owners, this tent city has been around for over 40 years. Stan has only been involved with this camp for about a year and a half. He saw something tragic, and he couldn't ignore it.
I was dumping trash at the dumpster behind the police barracks, and there was a lady feeding an 18-month-old baby out of a garbage bag that was in a dumpster, and it was pouring the rain, and the baby was picking up pasta off the plate as fast as she could put it in and putting it in its mouth. And I said, this can't be anymore. This is my problem. That's what opened my eyes. And then coming down here and seeing these people, they feel ashamed of where they are. I mean, I heard one of them tell me and the sheriff this spring, he said, who would want to live like this? Who would want to live with the backwaters coming up to your tent door, or with mosquitoes or bugs or poison ivy or in this situation? We'd rather have houses, but we're just not to that place. They've lost everything by either bad decisions or some other form of poverty that came to them, and Are there people that have made major ugly mistakes? Sure. But we have too.
We mostly see homelessness as an issue facing people in cities, but it's a very real issue in rural areas. Being homeless out here presents a unique set of challenges.
One would definitely be simply the fact of transportation and distance.
That's Dr. Sydney McElroy. She's a family medicine doctor in Huntington and host of the medical podcast Sawbones. Dr. McElroy says that outreach obstacles present a huge health risk for people facing homelessness.
It's a lot harder if you are experiencing homelessness in a rural area, depending on where you are, to get to the services and places. I think about a lot when we discharge people from the hospital, we'll tell them to call. Well, if you don't have a place that you're always going back to, if your home moves about and you don't have a phone number, that's impossible. We have now created a situation that is impossible for you to solve.
Living in a community helps people overcome these obstacles. You don't have a phone, maybe a neighbor can lend you theirs. And Dr. McElroy says the benefits of having a community go beyond being able to share stuff.
The other thing I would bring up is that in every study of life expectancy, one of the things that correlates best with a longer life expectancy is social connection. The more connected you are to other humans and to a community of people, the longer you live, it improves your health outcomes to have connections.
Social connections. When I asked residents about living in this camp, they didn't bring up the flooding, extreme temperatures, mosquitoes. They chose to talk about how grateful they are. Grateful to have one another, to have Stan, to have a place to sleep at night. This is Wallace, one of the residents. He's from nearby Alum Creek.
The people here in this area here where the tents and stuff are, for the most part, all of them get along real good together, make you feel real welcome here. When I was told that I could move into this area here, and that really did mean a lot to me, because you go in certain areas, if you try to pitch a tent or if you just try to lay down along the side of the road there, I mean, the police have to do their job there. And I mean, most of the time you can tell that they really don't like running you off of here, running you off from there. It's just a thought there that you know for sure that you're really not allowed to be there. But I mean, it's really nice there that you can come here and get a tent and not have to worry about anybody coming along and telling you that you got to leave or anything like that.
Another resident, Jamie, is incredibly grateful for Stan and his church.
Who would come in a pouring storm, and I mean pouring like buckets of rain that was freezing, to the middle of the woods to a tent to bring a stranger kerosene just to make sure they're not freezing?
Jamie points out that in the arguments over camps like these, people often forget that each person facing homelessness has a story where tragic circumstances have led them to places like this tent city.
When you're homeless, you lose so much. You lose your dignity. I worked my whole life. I always had a home, and because of domestic violence, I lost my home, I lost my property, like that. And I met a lot of terrible people. It seems like when you're down, that's when people are, they're at their worst. And then along comes Stan and his wife, and, you know, it was just like God saying, hey, you know, I'm still here with you. He has done things for me that my own family didn't do, you know, that I felt really alone. I felt forgotten. I felt dismissed. And this perfect stranger came from out of nowhere. Him, his wife, the people that he worships with came and they changed my life.
Stan remembers the first night he came down here.
Somebody mentioned that there were a few people that stayed over here. So one Sunday night at about 7 o'clock, I walked the railroad tracks and I said, I've got chili and blankets. And all these lights came on down here like fireflies. They came up and they said, you're the first person to treat us like a human in years. And they began to weep.
He comes down here 3 times a week or more. Tonight, he's giving out pizza. He'd eventually like to move his church closer to Tent City when he has the funds. But until then, he's going to keep doing what he can.
Well, I think we have to actively get involved, and that requires us getting down and dirty. It means getting our hands dirty in situations that we don't want to be involved in, because we want to live as Americans in a world that doesn't have these problems. They're all third world countries, you know, that have these types of problems. But that's not true. I don't want to see these people live like this all their lives. I don't want to see anybody live like this. But we got to start where people are. We can't start where we want them to be. The reality is they're here. And what do we do to help them transition from here back into culture?
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Kyle Vass.